This evening we will be studying what are the characteristics of the sheep of the Lord and our relationship with Him. Our Lord Jesus described our relationship with Him as a bride and a groom, or a master and a servant, our Heavenly Father and His children, and finally, He is our shepherd and we are His sheep. I will begin reading John chapter 10, verse 1 all the way to verse 18, and then continue from verse 25 all the way to verse 30. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were, which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out, and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Verse 17. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Verse 25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. My dearly beloved, tonight we will be discussing this particular chapter, which is extremely important to distinguish who are the sheep of the Lord. The sheep are also defined as the elect, or rather the chosen of the Lord, that was chosen before even the foundation of the world, to act as the bride of Christ. So verse 1 says here, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. My dearly beloved, there are many, many religious activities out there in the name of Jesus. However, the Lord God tells us very clearly that many of them, even though they claim the name of Jesus, does not go through according to the word of God or according to the instructions of our Lord. Now, these are called thieves and robbers. Thieves refer to the power of darkness, same as well as a robber. They refer to the false teaching of Christ. They refer to the power of darkness that is behind all of these religious activities. Christ Jesus is our Lord, and Christ Jesus is not a religion. Christ Jesus tells us that between him and us, it is a relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, the bride and the bridegroom. Now, verse 2 says, But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3, To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. My dearly beloved, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. We must remember the door in the Old Testament, when the Israelites are supposed to leave Egypt, the final mark of a disaster among the Egyptians, the final cursing of the 10 plagues, remember that story, is that Moses had to slay a lamb, and everyone is instructed to do the same thing, and then lay on the door the blood of the lamb, right? Now, that represents that the death on the cross and our Lord Jesus, who shed his precious blood on that door, refers to the shepherd himself. So until unless we go through the door by the precious blood of Jesus, it is all a false salvation or religion. So Christ Jesus, he is the door where every one of the sheep has to go through. And the door, of course, represented by his precious blood, means his life. He laid down his life for the sheep. In fact, it is written in verse 17, Therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life, that I might take it again. So to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So to him the porter openeth. The porter refers to the seven genuine servant of the living God that preached about the shepherd. And so, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. So, as the servant of the living God, we preach the truth of the word of God, the sheep then would recognize the voice of the Lord through the servant of the living God. In other words, the sheep can distinguish whether a servant of a living God is a genuine servant of the Lord, or the servant is not a genuine servant of the Lord. Now, verse 4, it says, And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Keep in mind that our Lord Jesus, He is always before us. It says right here, He goeth before them, and the sheep follow Him, for they know His voice. Now, my dearly beloved, a lot of these words looks as if it is simple English. The sheep follow Him. And, of course, for they know His voice. Now, I want to say this to you. A genuine sheep must first of all be a born-again Christian. That's a fundamental requirement of being a sheep, is must be genuinely born-again Christians. And a genuine believer, as the Amplified Bible writes, means, believing in Jesus means trusting His words and His promises. Number two, cleaving. And of course, stick and grasping firmly to our Lord without wavering. And number three is relying on Christ through His promises and of course through prayers. So a genuine sheep of the Lord must manifest these three characteristics, that is, trusting the Lord, cleaving to the Lord, and relying on the Lord no matter what the circumstances are. Now, the Apostle Paul defined the elect and the sheep that genuinely love Jesus because, you see, the Lord God loves us so much that He would lay His life for the sheep. And the sheep, in return, would lay their lives for the Master. Now, there are those Christians who claim that they are Christians, who claim that they are born again, and perhaps they are. They go to church every week, they attend the service, they even read the Bible, and so on. However, the difference between a sheep and a goat is looking like the sheep, but not the sheep. And a goat tend to be wild, isn't it? While the sheep is always meek and humble. If you go around, even the animal, the real animal, sheep, are very gentle. And a goat are wild. They're very similar, but yet they're not the same. Now, a goat, in the scripture, is the third ground. A goat are also going to be judged in the same locations, the judgment seat of Christ with the sheep. There are other preachers that define a goat as unbelievers. However, in Matthew 25, the goat are expected to do the same amount of work as the sheep, and they're given the Holy Spirit equally, because if they're unbelievers, number one, they cannot be judged on the same level as the sheep. That would not be fair, isn't it? Now, the Lord tells the goat, "Be gone, because you did not do the things that I told you to do." You see, the work of the Holy Spirit is expected in both the sheep and the goat. Now, if goats are unbelievers, like the dead, they cannot produce the work of a living sheep. It is not possible. You see, the Word of God tells us the pigs are the dead. But the goat and the sheep are very similar. So are the parables of the third and the fourth ground. The third ground are the goats, because the third ground, it has root, it even bear fruit. The only difference is, the fruit is not mature. And sometimes it has fruit, and some other times it does not bear any fruit. But if it does bear or bloom fruits, the fruits are not ripened. That's the big difference between the third ground and the fourth ground. The parables of the four kinds of grounds, if you look at it in Matthew 13, the third ground are the goats. And the fourth ground that manifests fruitfulness, some 30-fold, some 60-fold, and so on, those refer to the sheep of the Lord. They're fruitful. Now, I want to give you four characteristics of the sheep as written in John 17. I shall read verse 6 for you, all the way to verse 10. I have manifested thy name unto the men, which thou givest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. So the first characteristic of the sheep is they have kept thy word. In other words, they remember the word of the Lord. Then it continues in verse 7. Now, they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. Verse 8. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So the second characteristic of the sheep is they have received them. In other words, they joyfully accepted the instructions of our Lord and act upon it. Number three, they have belief. And I've mentioned earlier, believing in Jesus is not just going to church, sitting and hearing preachings, and carrying your Bible and being baptized and go home. If that is the case, then it is very simple, isn't it? And our Lord would not say, straight is the way, narrow is the path, and few will get in there. If it's that easy, there are multitudes, millions of people could do that easily. The very fact that the believer, genuine believers, the sheep, they are able to deny themselves and take up the cross and follow him, you see. And so, let me continue. Verse 9. I pray for them, I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And verse 10, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. My dearly beloved, I have read to you four requirements through the Gospel of John, chapter 17, verse 6 to verse 10. The first requirement of the sheep, or the characteristics rather, of the sheep, number one, is they have kept thy word, the Lord says. Number two, they have received them, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Okay, so number two is they have received them. Number three, they have believed them. And then number four, I am glorified in them. You see, these are four requirements or four characteristics of a genuine sheep. And for that reason, let's go back to John chapter 10, verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. You see, the sheep follow Jesus Christ. In other words, the word follow means, a follower means as a disciple. Now, the disciple is defined in the John 15. Our Lord tells us in John chapter 15. Listen to this. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. My dearly beloved, the word disciples is defined by fruitfulness. Listen to this again. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So the definitions of a genuine disciples of Jesus Christ is measured by fruitfulness. You see, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So the moment we begin to bear much fruit, our Heavenly Father is glorified. You see, for that reason, that's exactly what Jesus said in the Gospel of John that I've just read to you, chapter 17, verse 4. And it says, I am glorified in them. The question is this. If you claim to be a genuine born-again believer, are you the sheep or are you the goat? Both the goat and the sheep are born again believers. The only difference is the goat that looks like the sheep and are born again. Simply because, like I said earlier, Matthew 25 instructed both the sheep and the goat and judge at the same judgment seat of Christ. If a goat is considered as unbeliever, he would have been judged in the great white throne. That's strictly for unbelievers. The very fact that he said, the goat says, Lord, when did I do such and such a thing? If you read Matthew 25, read that chapter carefully. You see, the goat are expected to produce the work of the sheep equally. That tells you that the goat is a born-again believer receiving the Holy Spirit in his or her heart. The difference is, the goat refused to obey the Lord simply because the goat walks in his flesh, while the sheep totally submit and obey and receive the instructions of the Lord God and follow him. Follow those instructions from their heart, because the sheep truly love the Lord with all their heart, soul, and mind, and do not walk in the flesh. The goat walk in the flesh. Okay? So mark this very, very carefully. And the goat is defined in another parable, the parable of the four types of ground, as the third ground. The third ground has a plant. And it has a root and even bear fruits. Like I said, the only difference is the fruit is not ripened. The reason is simple. The thorns, the weeds on the side, and the thorns sucks all the minerals up. In other words, and of course, those minerals refers spiritual minerals we're talking about. And the Lord explained that the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things, and the pleasures of this will choke the word out. In other words, those things of the world are competing with the life of Christ. Now, my dearly beloved, I want you to pay close attention, because many, many preachers do not explain the way I do, because many times they would say, oh, that's unbeliever. That is not true. If you look at it carefully, the Holy Spirit has unveiled to me. When he did that, I was actually shocked. But that is the truth. You see, for that reason, in the book of Revelation, our Lord says, until unless we are victorious, he's going to delete our name. Perhaps you would wonder, when would that happen? Let me tell you this. The Holy Spirit has unveiled to me. That's when the judgment seat of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, we must give account whether it's good or evil. Well, if we do good, that's awesome, isn't it? But how about evil? You see, when you do evil, that's what happened to the goat. Our Lord tells the goat, be gone. Be gone to the place prepared for the devil. That's not where we should be, isn't it? You see, evil does not exist in heaven. Evil only exists, of course, in hell. We know that. For that reason, the Apostle Paul reminds us through his words, he says, be very careful. God is not mocked. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that shall he reap. You see, he said, if you sow to your flesh, you shall of the flesh reap corruption. And if you sow to the Spirit, then of course, you will sow from the Spirit life everlasting. My dearly beloved, a born-again Christian is still in the flesh form. So if you choose to walk in the flesh, just like the Apostle Paul tells us, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You see, we are in the form of flesh. It is not in the glorified body yet. Someday, when we get raptured, yes, we will be transformed. But while we are journeying on earth, we are under the process of transformation. And that transformation can only take place when we crucify our flesh. Just like I mentioned earlier, the Apostle Paul says over and over again, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And those two are contrary to each other. so that you cannot do the things you're supposed to do. And of course, if we are led by the Holy Spirit, we are not under the law. For that reason, Romans 8:1 says the same thing. You see, there is now no condemnations. Those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So we have a choice as a born-again believer. Yes, the Lord has equipped us with the Holy Spirit, but we are given the free will to choose whether to walk in the Spirit or to walk in the flesh. You see, if you choose to walk in the flesh, even though you are given the Holy Spirit, you are grieving the Holy Spirit. Sooner or later, it's going to take toll. That's what Paul was talking about. Whatever you sow is whatever you're going to reap. You see, many people have a misconception. They think that we are robots. Once we are given the Holy Spirit will take over our whole body and will become transformed overnight. That is not true. It takes our choices. You see, God has given us the free will. We have the free will to choose to obey the Holy Spirit, or we have the free will to walk in our flesh. You see, there are many, many testimonies, many, many stories out there. Those who are born again, genuine born again, not just believers, even preachers, that have finally gone astray and follow the world and finally, sad to say, left the Lord because they walk in darkness. Let me tell you this real story in China. There was a young preacher that was very poor, but he loved the Lord. And the amazing thing about him is he liked to stammer. You see, he's got a problem with his, probably with his tongue. He stammers whenever he speaks. However, when he goes to preach, there is not even one stammering. Isn't that amazing? And so one day he decided to give himself to the Lord as a full-time servant of a living God. He was very poor, and he was engaged to a young lady, of course. It was his fiancée. And his fiancée decided to cancel the engagement simply because he wanted to serve the Lord God as a full-time minister, to serve the Lord Jesus as his servant. However, this young man, who is very gifted in his preaching, decided to follow Jesus, my dearly beloved. He genuinely would like to follow Jesus and love the Lord. So he decided to walk with Jesus and end the engagement as the fiancé refused to walk together with him, with the Lord. So as he took his bicycle, he began to sing out of his lips a very precious song that many, many have heard, especially in China. And in his song, he said, move forward, for the Lord is ahead of us. And then he sang and said, he that holds to the plow, looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Now, this precious story ends up as a tragedy. So what happened was, this young man left for America to study the Bible in the Bible seminary. In the meantime, the devil has something in mind for him. So he began to be doing business, side business, doing antique. And before long, he actually was making quite a bit of money. Now, my dearly beloved, Satan has many, many things for us to trap our feet and yank us out as fast as he can away from the Lord. Let me tell you this. So we have to be very cautious. So this young man became very rich, and before long, his heart began to move away from the Lord God into the world. My dearly beloved, you must pay a close attention to our heart, or your heart too. Because Satan would use the world, the venom of the world. Remember what the Apostle John says, if any man loved the world, the love of the Father is not in him. You see, Satan would compete with the Holy Spirit by giving us the world. And when the world gets in our heart, it can literally begin to pull you down spiritually. That's what happened to this young man. And before long, he left the Lord. And worst of all, he was living with 7 prostitutes. My dearly beloved, this is a very sad story. However, it is also a warning for each and every one of us. He chose to walk not like the sheep does. Halfway through, he decided to quit and went into the world. This is a real story I'm sharing with you. Verse 4 in here says, when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Unfortunately, if you do not recognize the voice of the Lord, and if you do not follow Jesus to the finish line, probably and very likely you're not the sheep of the Lord. And verse 5 says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. You see, the sheep can recognize the voice of the Lord. Personally, myself, I've heard the voice of the Lord frequently. And of course, visions are given frequently for the purpose of teaching us, warning us what is to come ahead of us. It is not to be prideful, you know, like some people said, well, I speak with tongues, you know, I've seen many, many visions. But when you look at their lifestyle, it does not reflect the lifestyle of a sheep. Now, keep in mind, the sheep must bear, ultimately, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Now, the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, written Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-sufferings, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You see, sheep must have 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit in their life as they journey with the Lord God towards the finish line. Of course, as baby sheep, we may not manifest the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit, but we must begin to bloom slowly and surely, and ultimately, just like our Lord tells us, he has chosen us for one main purpose, that is to bear fruits, and our fruits must remain. By the time we reach into spiritual maturity, our fruits must remain. Now, the fruit-bearing process cannot be done by our flesh, my dearly beloved. We must abide in Christ Jesus, like John 15 says. Jesus said, apart from me, ye can do nothing. So keep that in mind, that the fruit-bearing process is done strictly by the work of the Holy Spirit. And so as we abide in Christ and obey the commandment of the Lord God and crucify our flesh, and by oil, with the heart of thanksgiving, by faith, as I mentioned before, as the night gets unto us, as difficult as gets unto us, we must counteract that by faith with the heart of thanksgiving. As long as it is not due to our sin, it is called the knife. And so those knives are constantly sent into our life in order to prune us. However, as the sheep of the Lord, they are able to take it very well. If they don't take it the first time very well, they will have to learn. And the Lord will constantly send them, prune them, until they bloom. And the sheep knows the voice of the Lord. They know exactly when pruning knives are sent into their lives, they recognize that. And of course, the sheep also know that. For what purpose? Well, perhaps to learn how to bloom in the areas of faithfulness, in the areas of charity and meekness, humility, and of course, in terms of goodness. There are many, many areas that the Lord wants to prune us so that we will ultimately look like Jesus. And verse 7 says, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8, All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. There are many, many so-called Christians that told me that, oh, I've been burnt out, you know. I can tell you one thing. As far as the sheep are concerned, they will never be burnt out, because the sheep goes through the door. By the precious blood of Jesus, they repented genuinely and confessed all of their sins and born again of the Spirit of God. You see, they know when the thieves or the false prophets come through. They know, they recognize that's a false prophet. That's not a genuine servant of the Lord. And it is through the precious blood of Jesus that the sheep are able to constantly receive spiritual food with the presence and assistance of the Holy Spirit and begin to grow. And of course, there are some false teaching out there that are sent by the power of darkness or the devil, whether it's through a false prophet or through a false teachers, but the sheep did not hear them. We know when that is genuinely from the Lord or from the power of darkness. We are able to distinguish them. The sheep are able to know the differences. And verse 10 says, The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. You see, Christ Jesus came. Not only he gave his life to the sheep and died on our behalf, more importantly, our Lord God is interested to transform us by giving us the Holy Spirit that indwells in our heart the moment we repent of our sins. Then the Holy Spirit will begin to transform us as we obey the Holy Spirit, by acting out the word of Jesus, by remembering the word of Jesus. As we love our Lord God with all our heart, soul, and mind. You see, we prioritize Christ. There are many, many Christians out there, even though they are born again, they never prioritize Christ in their life. What essentially they're doing is they're trying to use God's word to go around their life, if you know what I mean. In other words, they would like to pray for their own needs. They would like to think for themselves. They want this, they want that. But they never, never remember the commandment of God. Now, genuine sheep of the Lord, the first criteria is to love the Lord God with all their heart, soul, and mind. The first two commandments are in their heart. They revolve all their lifestyle around Christ. They're Christ-centered. They're not self-centered. They don't worship themselves. They worship Jesus Christ. You could be a born-again Christian and still worship yourself. Do you know? Are you one of them? I pray you would repent and be the genuine sheep of the Lord if you do that, because it is an absolute sin. You can be in church and you can say, well, you know, I go to church and I'm baptized. I've been in church for years. That's correct. However, how about your line of thought? What do you think all day long in your mind and your heart? Is it material things? Or is it Jesus? Are you living a godly lifestyle? Or are you just going out there and have your own funds and floundering in your flesh and forgot about the Holy Spirit that indwell you that is holy? You see, all of those things take toll ultimately. The sheep are able to glorify God. They are able to obey the Lord God. And as a result, they will receive abundant life. They are able to grow and grow and grow. And before long, they look like the master. They think like the master. They talk like the master. They walk like the master. Are you one of them? I pray that you would be the sheep of the Lord. Verse 11 says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. You see, a hireling is only interested in money, you know. There are many, many preachers out there, or pastor. They are paid employees of a company. They go to school, they get a degree in a seminary, and they work as a pastor. Yeah, they visit the sheep, but their heart, deep in their heart, they do not live for Jesus as their first priority, and of course, as the Lord God of their life. They look very similar. This is what Jesus is talking about. The hireling flee. They don't care. All they care is their money. How many preachers out there are working as pastors or preaching for money? Tons of them out there. Some of them I even heard. They flew in helicopter and you have to pay so much amount, $1,000, just to get the front seat to be able to hear the person preaching. And of course, if you pay less, you'll get the back seat. It sounds to me that's more like Hollywood than a preacher of the Lord, isn't it? But that's what Jesus is talking about. So the hireling fleeth because he's an hireling. He's not interested in the sheep and careth not for the sheep. He's interested in getting his own money. His belly is his God. That's what the Apostle Paul calls. Unfortunately, those are false prophets. We know that. Now verse 14 says, I am the good shepherd. And know my sheep, and am known of mine. You see, the good shepherd know my sheep. The Lord God knows each and every one of the sheep. And am known of mine. And of course, the sheep also know the master. You see, when the master calleth, oh, we know, that's the boss. Our Lord's talking now. And the Holy Spirit that indwell us will make it known, you see. So the Lord tells us what to do through the presence of the Holy Spirit, and in return, we know exactly when the boss says something, when he approved, when he disapproved, you know it because the Holy Spirit that indwell us is the Lord God himself. Verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. You see, someday when we enter into the marriage of the Lamb, that's what the sheep are supposed to dress up with, white garment of linen, which is the acts of the righteousness of the saint. We are to be filled with absolutely godliness, looking like Jesus, filled by the Holy Spirit. And as his bride and his our group, we must meet into eternity to enter this marriage. You see, and that is what the Lord God before eternity have chosen the sheep for that purpose. And the sheep are all over the world. Sometimes in the church there could be just one sheep. There are times there isn't one sheep. I've been to one church that is so sad. Not even the preacher is a goat, let alone a sheep. You see, the whole church is filled with absolute pride, which is filled with Satan. The book of Revelation tells us they look like the synagogue of the Jews, but in actual fact it is of Satan. And of course, we know we are living in the very end of end times, when Christ Jesus is coming again for the second time, and many, many, many false prophets in the name of Jesus claiming, I'm Christ here and there. Don't listen to those. For that reason, be very cautious, my dearly beloved. Not every church belongs to Christ. You have to open your eyes wide and see and hear with your ears. The truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is very narrow. I'm afraid it is not the broad way. For that reason, our Lord says, straight is the way, narrow is the gate. It is so narrow I'm afraid, just like our Lord says, fear will get in there. I don't mean to discourage you, but that is written in the scripture, and our Lord says that. For that reason, we must pay close attention on the kind of doctrine the church is teaching. I would encourage you to read the scripture yourself. You must spend time before the Lord God and read the word of God and repent of your sins and live in obedience to the Holy Spirit and asking the Holy Spirit to assist you to choose a path of obedience, walking in the Spirit versus our flesh. And verse 17 says, therefore doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You see, the Lord God died on the cross willingly, and of course, is a painful offering, of course, very painful crucifixions on the cross. But that offering was his absolute willingness to die on our behalf. You see, and the Lord says here, no man take it from me, but I lay it down of myself. Our Lord tells us that he joyfully and lovingly lay himself, his life for us. For that reason, we as his sheep must joyfully and willingly lay ourselves, our life for Jesus. You see, it is not fair that our Lord died on the cross for us, and we, if we are genuine sheep, not lay our life for Jesus. It's like a husband and wife. We are one body. And so the bride and the groom, that's what we are, you see. And the shepherd and the sheep, that relationship is extremely intimate. And the Apostle Paul have also defined that the love of Jesus is what drives the sheep to the finish line. You see, the fundamental power that drives the sheep to the finish line is the love of Jesus, not any other motive. They are filled with the love of Christ. And for that reason, in Romans 8:35, I shall read, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. My dearly beloved, the sheep are filled with the love of Christ. You see, nothing can separate the love of Christ, just like I've just read to you what the Apostle Paul has said. In all of these things, the Apostle Paul says, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. You see, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The sheep are willing to lay down their life at all costs for Jesus, just like the Apostle Paul was willing to lay down his life for Christ, and of course the rest of the apostles. Likewise, Stephen was sacrificed for that purpose. And there are many, many saints out there that did lay their life for the Lord God. My spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wong, she was ready to die when she was being put to jail for 20 long years. She was the sheep of the Lord. She was ready to die for Jesus. No matter what, she would not give up Jesus Christ. However, many, many people out there, they quit on Jesus. The moment the communists took over, they quit
on Christ. Forget about talking, going to jail. Some have ended up in jail, but they're still within the jail because the conditions are very harsh. They do quit on Christ because you're not talking about 1 year or 2 years. It's 20 years. Sometimes you cannot come out from the jail. However, until unless you're filled by the love of Jesus, the power of the risen Savior, through the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart, and of course you have to live a life godliness of a sheep, and purchasing the flask of oil of the five wise virgins, which I mentioned in the other preachings. There is no way you can go through such a harsh tribulation, except for the sheep. And so, there are many, many people out there, even though on the surface they look like the sheep, but if you look carefully deep, deep down into their lifestyle, you recognize they are not the sheep. My dearly beloved, pay close attention. John 10:25. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which give them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. There are many, many people that do not believe in Jesus. Of course, that is easy to see immediately. If they are not believers, they don't go to church, they refuse Jesus. That is not difficult to distinguish, right? However, what is sad is there are people out there who claim to be Christians or even pastors and preachers who are born again of the Spirit of God. On the surface, if you look at their lifestyle and their lips, they claim Jesus, they pray, they read the Bible, they fellowship. It looks on the surface that they love Jesus. However, it is sad to discover that some of them deep, deep in their hearts, they are still not operating by the love of Christ. They are still self-centered instead of Christ-centered. You see, Christ Jesus does not look on the surface, you know. Our Lord God is a God who looks deep, deep down in our heart. You can cover up by religiosity. You can cover up by churchianity. You can go to church every week. You can be preaching. However, what he looks is deep, deep down in our heart. Now, I want you to be honest with me. What do you have deep down in your heart? Of course, if you're not a believer, I would encourage you to become a believer. However, if you are a believer, I would like to cross-check with you. What kind of faith do you have for Christ? What is your motivation in believing for Jesus? Is it just simply for yourself to get your prayers answered, to just get in the kingdom of heaven, hoping you'll get in there by going to church every weekend and by being baptized? My dearly beloved, you have to be pure before the Lord God and humble yourself with genuineness of your heart. You must be honest, first of all. And if you live a lifestyle that does not look like the sheep, I pray that you would repent of your sins and cry to God with all of your heart, Oh God, have mercy upon me. I thought I was doing the right thing. I thought I'd go to church. I thought I knew you, but really, I have not lived a life of godliness. I have not lived a life that is filled with Christ. On the contrary, I live a life that is filled with the world. My heart, my mind, everything is around the world, around money, around my finances, around my health, around anything else but Jesus. Now, my friend, be real honest with me. because God is a God of wisdom, and Almighty God will see through right into our heart. And so is the Holy Spirit. You can't deceive God. And I pray that this evening, as you hear my voice, if you have not genuinely believed in Jesus, even though you're playing church on the surface, you go to church, you worship the Lord God every weekend, even be baptized, even read the scripture and fellowship. However, you know more than I do what is within your heart. My dearly beloved, I would encourage you to repent. I want to share with you one last precious story. The sheep of the Lord always produces many, many testimonies. As the knives, the pruning knives, cuts across into their lives, they have learned to abide in Christ because they follow Jesus, all his instructions, and they're willing to deny themselves and take up the cross and, of course, follow him and obey the Holy Spirit. For that reason, they are able to glorify God and are fruitful. And one of the characteristics, of course, of the sheep is that their prayers are always answered. For that reason, they have many, many testimonies. Personally, myself, I have many, many testimonies. Literally, there is not one prayer that has not been answered. Of course, I do not ask things that are funny, like winning lottery, stuff like that, right? That is not a legitimate request. We're talking about requesting before the Lord God that is legitimately, that glorifies God. Now, here is a story of George Muller. George Muller lived approximately between 1850, somewhere around there. Now, George Muller was a saint, and this brother has many, many testimonies. And of course, all of his prayers, just like mine, have been answered. And he has written many, many books, of course. And I want to share one incident with you, that sheep always recognize the Lord God, and sheep always have absolute faith in Christ. And the sheep are able to receive abundant life. In other words, the life of Christ, manifested by the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit, will ultimately be formed in their lives. The divine peace, the charity, the faith, the meekness, the humility, they're all parts and parcels of the sheep. My spiritual teacher, Miss Esther Wang, manifests that divine peace whenever she comes to our home. She manifests and carries with her the mark of Christ. She brought into our home absolute divine peace like a perfume. We felt so peaceful. My husband and I felt so peaceful whenever she comes to our home and pray with us and stay with us. You see, she reflects that peace and charity and faith, super faith. And of course, her prayer is very powerful. All of those nine characteristics are manifested through her skin and her lifestyle, and we sense it, we feel it. So here comes Brother George Muller, and let me tell you the story. He had gone through in his life, of course, much trials and tribulations, but Brother George Muller, as he grew in the spirit and became a saint, was known to raise 1,000 children in his orphanage, as many as 1,000 children, in fact. And he said that everything that was given in his orphanage comes by prayer. Do you believe that? I do, because I know exactly what he was talking about. Now, I want to share with you one precious testimony so that you know what kind of faith George Muller has. So one day, all the kids come together for their breakfast. And of course, on the table, there was no food. They don't have food for the children. for the breakfast. And the chef, or the cook, was very nervous. There was no food. How are we going to handle this? What are we going to feed the children with? However, Brother George Muller was not in the least worried, simply because he knew his master. And so he made everybody prayed over the food, the breakfast, and said, "Father, we just want to thank you for the food and bless them, Father. Sanctify the food. In Jesus' name, we pray." So he made everybody prayed over the food, even though there was no food on the table. My dearly beloved, the plate manifests no food. Get that straight. However, because Brother George Muller has absolute faith in God, he knew that God will provide for certainly. So he led them in prayer. And after he made that prayer, there was the doorbell. And guess what happened? There were tons of loaves of bread in time for their breakfast. My dearly beloved, this is a real story that tells a man of faith, a saint and a sheep of the Lord that followed Jesus. This is what our Lord was talking about. My sheep follow me, and they know my voice. You see, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And of course, as the sheep of the Lord God, we are able to know our master. We know exactly what the Lord is thinking. We know exactly where he's guiding us into. And of course, we follow him, you see, because the Holy Spirit that is imparted in our heart will speak and explain to us what is going on here. And of course, verse 28 says, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And my Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." This is what we call one safe, forever safe, right? Many preachers think one safe, forever safe. I agree. And this is only applicable to the sheep, my dearly beloved. Read the verse very carefully. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Of course, understood to the finish line. You see, the sheep is able to follow Jesus to the finish line. They don't quit halfway, like the story I mentioned earlier. Not even for money, not even for position. They are not able to be bribed by the devil. You can't bribe them. They know exactly where the target is. What they're interested in is to please the master at all costs. That's the characters of the sheep. And of course, they are able to glorify the Lord God since they lay down their life for Jesus. And in return, our Lord give them eternal life. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. You see, the sheep are the bride of Christ. They are the elect that the Apostle Paul was laboring for. And many times in the scripture, the Apostle Paul also said, "For the sake of the elect." So the sheep are literally the elect. I pray that when you hear my message this evening, I want you to check to yourself, are you living a lifestyle of a sheep? And if you don't, my dearly beloved, I pray that you would turn around and repent and be the sheep of the Lord. Now, dearly beloved, it is time to part once again. May the Lord richly bless you as you remember that Jesus indeed is a wonderful Savior and Shepherd, while we are His chosen sheep that must and would shine for Jesus. May you put to your hearts and mind what the Apostle Paul says when he said, "Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us." In Jesus' most precious name, I ask and pray for. Amen.